Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about social communication, social relations in our actions, things that fill our life, but not so sure that we know how to do them in the best possible way. We'll try to learn something. Be with us. Yeah, please. On our show, we hear you a lot talk about interpersonal relationships, about people coming closer, about the entire matter of social relations as something very meaningful in all of our lives, and certainly according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, and would like to look at several interesting aspects about communication or relations that seemingly we understand what that is, but this one time we want to deepen a bit. And let's start with social connections in nature, social relations. We people, we have interactions, we relate to each other, we have societies, we have a person in a society. In nature itself, besides people, are there social laws too? Dr. Lightman, yes, but they're not called social. These are instincts. And therefore, it's determined by the laws of nature, like ants, suppose. They have a society. Oh, you bet, what a society. There are families of animals and so on, at least for a certain period of time that they connect between them and so on. But these are instincts. It's immersed in nature, whereas it's not immersed in the nature of human beings, but it's something that we ourselves have to develop. Yeah, the emotional element, Dr. Lightman, animals have no emotional element because it's something that they don't develop themselves. The emotion exists, but it's controlled by nature. We have to bring ourselves to a state, to a degree, where emotionally, intellectually, we build. First and foremost, in mind and heart, a system, and then if we're talking about this world, then we realize it in practice and matter in this world. Yeah, about the intellectual, emotional systems, looking from the outside in, or their culture, suppose, where the connection between people is very warm. There are cultures where the connection is very distant. There are places where the connection is even physical. There are places where it's verbal. There are places where the connection is very emotional, very dramatic. And there are places where it seems really dry, cold, beyond all the theater that we see, its external appearances that exist in every culture, person. In regard to the connection itself, a person who's more emotional, his connection to other people is closer than a person who's, for example, more business-like and more, technical-like. Dr. Lightman, we do not know how to measure and show everyone exactly the measure to which a person participates or doesn't participate with others. Better to say participates. That's a kind of word that there's not too much emotion there. And therefore, it seems to me that this is our problem, that we don't know, therefore, how to measure the extent to which a person comes out of himself toward others. He himself doesn't know, and we don't know. And therefore, we can see some kind of movie and cry, and what does the actor do there? he's not concerned with what he's doing. He doesn't really care about it. He did the movie and goes and does the very opposite. He doesn't care. He's an actor. So therefore, we can't see the response of others, to measure the response of others, and even ourselves. Yeah, in different cultures, participating with others, is it different, Dr. Lakeland? Of course, I was in China. And I didn't understand them. They all seem like puppets that you wind a spring and they act accordingly. Until I got to know some of them and I started to feel an ocean of emotions there and a warm heart and really people that want to help and do. And so it goes both ways. We don't understand each other, that sometimes we meet people that we're not familiar with their shape, form, or external expressions, that's something else. In short, it's a problem. So, you're actually saying that the external expression says nothing actually about the measure of a person's inner participation, of closeness with another person. Throughout history, on the axis of time, is there a difference in the measure of a person's participation, involvement with another person? Is today different than the past, Dr. Lakeland? Of course. A person is new every day. His ego develops more and more. And maybe by that, he better understands others, better understands himself, knows how to use egoistically or the other way around already, if he's corrected and so on. But on a daily basis, the changes in everyone are vast and in society as a whole. Yeah, and where is this all headed, Dr. Lakeland? Toward the greater and greater egoistic development up to the point of the recognition of evil. Yeah, do we come closer or move away from each other, Dr. Lakeland? We use each other more, exploit each other, Yael. And about participating with each other on an emotional level and a heartly fashion, Dr. Lakeland, where do you see that? Today, children take their parents to court? Yael, so we're exploiting each other more and more. This is the trend, Dr. Lakeland. In other words, our egoistic desire is growing from moment to moment, period, limitlessly. Yael, if we want to neutralize the influence of time and the influence of cultures, are there rules of how to connect in society that are beyond time, that are beyond one culture or another, Dr. Lakeland? What's good for the ego? This is what develops from generation to generation and exists. That's the rule. Yael, can you explain? Dr. Lakeland, all of us behave according to our ego and to the measure to which our ego develops, and it's developing all the time. Accordingly, we want to realize it, and therefore we're all the time changing society, the way we behave toward each other, and so on all levels. Owen, I want to ask about another aspect in our discussion. How do social interactions influence our life? If we look at a child, we know that if we don't start developing his ability to connect to other children at a certain age, he will not develop. Why are social interactions so important to our development, Dr. Lakeland? Because we live in a society, in human society, and we can't provide a life for ourselves like animals do. An animal, throw it in the forest, it continues to exist. It'll find something to eat, where to sleep. It doesn't need clothes, it doesn't need a house, it doesn't need society. Everyone lives that way. Whereas man can't. Man is a social creature, meaning he needs a society. Without society, you can't survive. Dr. Leitman, what is it? Why does he need society? What does he need? Dr. Leitman, it's a kind of animal that has to live in society. Oh, and what does man have to receive from society? Dr. Leitman, he can't provide what he needs for himself. Oh, and what food? Dr. Leitman, food, sex, family, afterwards, money, honor, knowledge, all of these things. He needs many things. An animal, if you give it food, it doesn't need fur, it doesn't need a house, it'll get along with all these things. It will also find food. But if you give it food, that's it. It's not looking for anything beyond that. Not looking. Whereas man, he's boundless. His lack is boundless. Owen, suppose you have a castle with food for 1,000 years. And then you can say, okay, I have a home, shelter, food, everything. But no social ties. What would you be lacking? Dr. Leitman, I can't provide for my basic needs without having social connections. That's one thing. Another thing is that without a social life, I become an animal. There is a big difference between the animal world and human beings. It's a different level of existence. A person, in order to exist, he has to develop with, among others. If you throw a person in the forest, a baby, you put him in the forest, there he becomes a wild animal. We can't exist without a human society, meaning I can't be on my own. Oh, and why not? Dr. Leitman, because there is something about me that has to develop as a result of my connection with others. Oh, and what is it? Dr. Leitman, my soul, it's a kind of deficiency that I have to be in connection with others and reach a kind of connection with others that I give them, they give me. We unite, and in that I feel life. If I do not connect with them, to them, in order to feel life, egoistic or altruistic, doesn't matter what kind, I don't feel that I'm alive. Mainly what I lack on my level as a human being is that. Owen, doctors say that loneliness can kill a person sometimes more than illnesses. Why? Why does loneliness drive us mad, Dr. Leitman? Because by nature, we are the descendants of Adam Arishon, literally speaking, the first man. It's a system that we all came from. In each of us, there is an inner point that is interconnected with all the inner points of all other people throughout all generations into a single system. And this is the connection that we need, and we have to be nourished through it. Oh, and when a person experiences loneliness, Dr. Leitman, he as if rips himself from that system in which he is connected with everyone, and he's no longer called a human being. He's an animal then. Owen, when you pick a flower, you disconnect it from its roots, then it could exist for several days, I don't know, water it, something. At a certain point, it withers. What happens to a person who's alone internally in loneliness? Dr. Leitman, gradually he's dying. Oh, and so much so, Dr. Leitman, yeah, his vital force run out. His vital forces run out, Dr. Leitman, of course, because we have such forces that we get only from the environment. And if he doesn't die physically, but mentally, for sure, emotionally, it's like children that you find them later on that were left in the forest. You find them a few years later, they're no longer human beings. They're animals, they can't get used to being human beings. All and up until now, we talked about other people's influence over me, and now I understand how crucial it is. Now, if you can explain about my influence over other people, do I, as an individual, have a force toward other people around me? Dr. Leibniz, of course, because we're all connected in that one system called Adam. Well, and what is the system, Dr. Leibniz? That in each of us, there is a one tiny point of desire, and all of our desires in each and every one of us are all interconnected in a system called Adam. And we have to be nourished by that system. And we are nourished by it. The only question is the measure to which we ourselves are realizing that system, are keeping it, meaning that we have a need to be interconnected in order to keep our connection like we have in that system of Adam that we're a part of. Oh, I don't get it. Doctrinally, all of us are the bearers of one emotional point, each of us, and all of these emotional points that exist in each and every one, each and every point, each and every personal, individual, particular point of each and every one is connected with the points of everyone else in a way that all of us are interconnected. All of us, whether we like it or not, whether we reveal it or we don't, that's it.
Yeah.
And this network of connections, it's at the foundation of reality, Dr. Leibniz. True. Oh, and if so, then what you describe now is the way we exist in nature, and you said that it's above time, space, generations, everyone's connected in this emotional point together. If this is how nature connected us all, why does man have so many problems and social interactions? There's nothing more complicated in life than social interactions. People don't get along with others. Why? Dr. Lake, because after we got this shape together, all of us, where we're all interconnected like a ball, we also have received an egoistical addition, mutual hate toward each other, and this hate that became revealed in everyone blew this ball up, and as if we moved away from each other, very far away. Yeah, and why is it still so hard? I don't know a single person that his entire social life was good. We're trying to correct things that we got tangled up. Why is it so complicated? What makes this so complicated? Dr. Leibniz, it's in order for us to want to be connected, for us to demand to be reconnected, reunited. That's why it was prepared the way it was, for us to understand how important it is to be connected above nature, above our ego. Dr. Leibniz, if I understand the system, then on part of nature, there are two opposite preparations that exist in each of us and in the system of relations between us. On the one hand, you're saying that you're all interconnected. On the other hand, nature made each of us with a feeling that we're all separate. These two preparations, nature has imprinted in us without asking us. That's how we are. That's it, Dr. Leibniz, of course. Oh, and so as if nature tangled us up, connected us, and separated us, distinguished us, Dr. Leibniz. True. Oh, and true, but, you know, things are hard, Dr. Leibniz. No one said it's easy. Of course, nature really tangled us up together, like you said. And what? Oh, okay, I understand. So a person doesn't have to relate to himself as if something's screwed about him. Is that normal, what's happening? Dr. Leitman, it's normal until it starts bittering our life. Oh, and suppose we start advancing in a proactive direction, that a person wants to start building the right relations with other people. What is the first rule that a person has to keep in his connection to other people? In this entire entanglement, Dr. Leitman, that you start accustoming yourself to seeing all of humanity as one system. Oh, and I don't know where all of humanity is. What does this mean, Dr. Leitman? All people connected. Oh, and in my relation toward others, what does that mean, Dr. Leitman? That I have to treat them as I treat myself. What? If we're connected, then what are you ohing about? Then you didn't understand my previous sentence. Oh, and so repeat, please. Dr. Leitman, we're all interconnected in one system. That's it? And this is the pattern you talked about previously, that this is our mold from the start, that we're connected together. Dr. Leitman, yeah? Yeah, so we're supposed to discover this connection? Dr. Leitman, yeah, it means that I can't use someone else because it's like myself. I can't hate another because it's like I don't hate myself, and so on. We have to be connected in a good and nice way, in a relationship of utter love toward each other, everyone. This is the ideal corrected form that has to be. We are in the complete opposite form. Completely opposite. The opposite of the opposite. Why? And also, it's something that's hidden from us in order not to show us the abyss that's right in front of us, that we will gradually discover and correct. Yeah. What is this abyss, Dr. Leitman? Our ego. That instead of connection, instead of love, we have disconnection and love. Disconnection is one thing, but also hate. Instead of connection and love. Yeah, so there are several stages here. First of all, we're disconnected from each other. We don't see that all of us are interconnected. So first of all, to even understand emotionally that this is the situation. Afterwards, to maybe start coming a bit closer. If there's disconnection, and then to overcome all of these feelings and develop a feeling of love, there's a process here. Dr. Leitman, I understand that you're an educated person, a psychologist, and so on, but it doesn't exactly follow the laws of psychology. There are laws here that are determined by nature about how to come closer in these opposite discernments, from hate between people to love. Owen, you're saying that these laws are not exactly psychological. Is it related to human courtesy? For hundreds of years, maybe even more, people are taught how to be courteous, to behave more nicely toward each other. Dr. Leitman, how do you teach them? Are you giving them exercises in order to tie them together? I don't get the question, Dr. Leitman. You don't even get the question. You want to bring them closer between them or what? Owen, in school, you know what? Not even school, in kindergarten. My mother was a kindergarten teacher. Kids fight all the time. I don't know why. He takes this, he takes that. Give me back. So intuitively, what do you say? Be nice, don't be that way, don't take. He's hearing it from kindergarten, comes to school, he's told, behave nicely, don't hit, don't do. He finishes school, you see, as a grown-up. There are those that really keep the laws, Dr. Lightman. Afterwards, he's brought to a court, and the judge tells him, behave nicely. Well, exactly, it's funny, but it's not, because it's life. And you're saying that the rules of the correct interconnection between people is for a person to feel that he's interconnected with everyone, and therefore he has to relate to everyone that way. Dr. Lightman, therefore, that's why I ask, what were you taught in school? Were you taught to love others or how not to hit? And you not to hit him so he won't hit you back. These are completely different laws. Owen, we have 1 minute left. What is the most important thing that has to be taught in relation to the right interactions between people? Dr. Lightman, that in our life, the most important thing is the connection between us. That our life exists in the connection between us, between you and me. This is where life is. If we think about that, we will already have an approach to the secret of life. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.